Southeast Radio's Business Matters with Carl Fitzpatrick.
Well, a recent survey reported that 70% of the respondents had suffered employee burnout, and this coupled with increased levels of absenteeism in the workplace highlights that this problem is increasing at a rapid rate. Siobhan Murray from Twisting the Jar joins us now to discuss her own experience of burnout and the factors which contributed to it. Siobhan, you promote positive health in the workplace and you help people to implement strategies to avoid burnout. Burnout is something that you encountered in your own personal life. So how did that burnout manifest itself and what impact did it have on you?
Well, you know, this is a question that could go on for the whole show, so I'll keep it brief. It manifested very much from a point of continual exhaustion, feeling very disengaged with my work, but kept on pushing and pushing and pushing myself. I probably burnt out the first time in my 20s and then did that repeatedly because back then there wasn't the term. So people would just say, oh, you just need a holiday or you need a rest. But basically, numerous times, I ended up very, very ill.
And were you putting yourself under that pressure or was it coming from an external force?
For me, and this is where, you know, burnout is very, very complicated. It's not black and white. For me, I hadn't gone to college directly after school like all my peers. So in everything I did, I was very much driven by this self-belief that I had to do really well at whatever I did. So I was very much pushing myself to... I bought my first home when I was 23 in London. And, you know, none of my peers were doing that. So it wasn't peer pressure. It was pushing myself to be the best that I could be, but without actually minding myself in the process.
So how did you overcome that at the time?
I changed careers. At the first time I would have burnt out, I was working in the music industry. I worked in the music industry in Dublin and in London. I sort of moved out of that career. I had the privilege of working with the likes of Elton John. So I was working in a very high-pressured environment all the time, which sounds fabulous and great, but when it would get to the point where I just couldn't go any further, I ended up changing careers and I went into corporate. I did that. I worked for not-for-profit. I would nearly reinvent myself, but I would, what they call habitual burnout, I would repeat the process of pushing myself.
And you know what's interesting about burnout is we often think of burnout as a one-off event, but it can actually turn into a recurring cycle quite often, can't it?
Very much so. What you have, you know, there are some people who say there's 5 stages, some say 12 stages, but, you know, when you're looking at from initially the onset to where it goes, you can have chronic burnout where people will be signed off work because their bodies are at ground zero. And then we've got what's called habitual burnout, which is because the actual reasons aren't being addressed and the changes aren't being implemented, we then just get into that cycle, habitual.
And how much of a problem is burnout in the workplace?
Increasingly, even though we're talking about it more and more companies and organisations across the globe are doing more, what it's doing is highlighting what was already there. So it's increasing.
In your book, The Burnout Solution, you talk about the beauty of saying no. Why is this so important and how can a so-called people pleaser learn to break the habit of saying yes?
Again, we need to look at why are we saying yes? Why are we putting ourselves out in the bottom of the importance pile because it's to please others? And there's always going to be times in work where we're asked to do something and it's our job and we might have a full plate already. But when we're either offering because we can see someone else in need of support, but our cup is full, what we're doing is just adding to our own stress. So to be really clear, putting boundaries in place and to be able to say no with kindness and not aggressively, you need to understand why you're saying no. Is it because you're at capacity? Is there another way you could help, as in there's somebody else you know who might be able to help? Is there a solution? what are you gaining? What is the importance of you saying no? If you don't know the importance, if you're just saying no because the person next to you has just got used to handing over their work and it annoys you, chances are you're not going to stick to that no. Once you connect with your no, it becomes so much easier to implement it and stick to it.
So what are the main factors that contribute to burnout, and is it more common amongst a particular gender or age range?
What I'm seeing more and more is very little difference between gender. What I will say is there's definitely a very, very big difference when you're looking within the medical profession. The burnout that they are experiencing and have been experiencing pre-COVID, there isn't the same level of ability to take time off. Age, again, you can have a 30-year-old or a 25-year-old who's experiencing burnout because, and again, it doesn't matter what industry they're in, because they are pushing themselves and pushing themselves. They will have done it in school. They would have done it in college. They will have that striving to perfection, which doesn't exist, without realizing what they're doing is enough.
How much burnout is a result of just pure ambition?
Interestingly, that's a very good question. See, with ambition, when we look at it, there's a drive and there's a want and there's an energy. So we need to be very careful when we say ambition. If ambition is coming from an individual and it's for the right reasons, it's not being driven by a sense of duty or my parents thought, I had brains to burn, so I should do this, or somebody else is putting pressure, because that's where you're going to experience in burnout, because it's not coming, that drive isn't coming from ourselves. When it's coming from ourselves, yes, there has to be a really good cognitive awareness of what I call care of self within that, so that we know how to accept and facilitate restorative rest. But that self-driven success, generally, we're okay with.
I was listening to a very interesting interview recently with the CEO of Siemens globally, and he was saying that something that they do within the organisation, when they see pure talent, is they double promote them. In other words, instead of bringing them up to the next level in the organisation, they bring them up two levels. What are your thoughts on something like that?
Without bad talking Siemens, I think, and that can happen in other organisations that I know of, global organisations, something similar, that's where we're putting pressure. That's the external expectation of others on us. And that's where we are looking at a higher level of potential burnout, because that person has been acknowledged for their ability, which is great, but they probably haven't even had time to sit into the position that they were in when they get double promoted. That can be within those cultures. They can be quite young, like late 20s, early 30s. And then once you've done that once, then the pressure to do it again is on that person. And it's a very high expectation that's being put upon the individual, and then the individual puts it upon themselves. So that's something I would say needs to be looked at and managed very well.
If you've just tuned in, I'm speaking to Siobhan Murray from Twisting the Jar. Siobhan, talk to us about the six domains of resilience and how they can help to prevent burnout.
When I say the word resilience, whenever I'm doing corporate work, I can nearly see the eyes rolling up to heaven when people are saying, oh God, this is more about the company trying to squeeze every last ounce of work out of us. And resilience, it's not that. Nor is it my favourite term, which makes me laugh, being able to bounce back from adverse situations. Resilience is not about any of that. There's this thought that, we're resilient on our own. The six parts of resilience, and four of them are sort of the action. That is our tenacity. It's our our ability to problem solve, it's our forward thinking, all of those, the action side of it that we want. But the two that are the important ones, the two that tie into the work I do, is one, our health. So our positive health, that's every aspect of our health, mind, body, spiritual, physical, emotional. But the other one is our social connection to others. So without a social connection to others, our support network, and who we are part of others' support network, we're not resilient, because we, no human being is brilliant at every single thing that life throws at them. So if we accept that, then, and we accept that there are going to be times where asking for help is okay, because when people ask us, we can support back, that's how we create resilience.
And finally, Siobhan, having overcome your own struggles with burnout, for somebody who is going through what you experienced, what would you say to them this morning?
This is the lotto question. If what you're experiencing, or if somebody close to you, colleague, family, friend, if you can see this is not their normal, it's not your normal, this has been going on, acknowledge that. The first thing, acknowledge this is not my normal. And the second thing, do not think, because if you have got to chronic burnout, do not think you can do this alone. Speak to your GP, speak to somebody in work, speak to a family member, and ask for help.
Well, if you've just tuned in, that was Siobhan Murray from Twisting the Jar. And I'd like to thank Siobhan for talking about this important topic here on Business Matters.
Southeast Radio's Business Matters with Carl Fitzpatrick.